Gangbusters. Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. An old coat, a woman in the rain, and angry police officers out to avenge a slain comrade.
M. Joseph Wallace, Chief Inspector, Baltimore City Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Chief Inspector Wallace.
Thank you, and good evening, Gangbusters listeners. Suppose we begin tonight's case on a Sunday afternoon in late November 1947. A huge crowd had gathered in the Baltimore Municipal Stadium to watch the Baltimore Colts in a professional football game. The weather had been threatening all afternoon, and during the third quarter, the skies opened up. Many of the fans scurried out of the rain for cover beneath the stands. One of these was an attractive young woman who ran down a ramp toward the first shelter where a man was standing.
Oh, football.
The greatest game in the world.
Maybe on television. Look at my hair.
It's very nice.
Nice and wet. 50,000 idiots. 50,000 idiots watching a few men dribble a ball up and down out there in the pouring rain.
How about a cigarette?
Yes. Thanks.
Light?
Thanks.
Yes. Very nice.
What?
Your hair.
Oh. See it in pin curls.
I'd love to.
Well, thanks for the cigarette.
See, you're not going back into the pouring rain, are you?
Oh, well, I've got a date out there.
He's more interested in football than in you.
Looks that way.
Not very smart, is he?
He just likes football.
What do you say you and me find some place to have a drink?
Hmm? Oh, I couldn't run out on him.
You won't even miss him.
How do you know I won't miss him?
Well, that's another story.
Do you know of some place nearby where we can get a drink?
Sure.
I suppose we should have been introduced properly.
I'll introduce us. My name is Wood, Roy Wood.
Very pleased to meet you, Mr. Wood.
Roy.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Roy. I'm Helen.
Just Helen? That's nice.
Helen Denny.
Well, what are we standing here for? Shall we go?
Okay, why not? Oh, football.
You see, I told you I'd find a place where we could have a drink.
Well, here's to the Baltimore Colts. May they be victorious, wet or dry.
Say, what made you run out of the rain and right into me?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's the way it was meant.
Yeah, it was meant, Helen. You and me, we were meant.
Looks that way, doesn't it?
It is that way. You know it.
Roy... How crazy can we get? Known each other 20 minutes.
I couldn't be the liquor. We haven't even finished our first drink yet.
What is it? You know, this is funny. I'm 28 years old. I feel like a schoolgirl. Like a kid in saddle shoes.
You want to hear how I feel?
I hope I know.
You do, baby.
Tell me all about yourself. Where do you live? What do you do? Everything.
Oh, I live out on 33rd.
You do? Mm-hmm. I live out that way myself, on Pratt near Broadway.
We're practically neighbors. It's made to order.
Well, what do you do for a living, I mean?
Oh, odd jobs.
What do you mean, odd jobs?
Oh, just that. I don't believe in tying myself down from 9 to 5 every day. When I need money, I work for it.
Oh.
You look a little bit disappointed.
Well, I just took it for granted that everybody had a job.
Well, let's just say that I'm more in the professional line. If there's anything I need, I just get it.
Nice to be able to get anything you need.
Is there anything you need, honey?
Nothing I can think of right now.
Well, don't let it worry you, Helen. I get along.
I'm sure you do. I think it's stopped raining now.
Well, then we'll celebrate. We'll have another drink, huh?
All right, Roy. Let's have another drink.
Waiter. Waiter, hey, waiter.
Well, Gangbusters listeners, during the next few weeks that Roy Wood and Helen Denny became better acquainted, he was the subject of considerable thought in another part of Baltimore. But the man thinking about Roy Wood was not so fortunate as Helen Denny. He knew neither Wood's name nor his whereabouts. He was Detective Lieutenant George G. Bryan of the Baltimore Police Department. And as he sat at his desk one afternoon, the door to his office opened.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Oh, Sergeant Mayor, come in here. I want to talk to you.
I thought you swore you'd take a Sunday or two off.
Well, not this Sunday, Sergeant. Sit down.
Thanks.
How was Cleveland?
We got a conviction.
Yeah, I read about it. Well, are you ready to go to work?
Have you got trouble?
Yeah. Some stick-ups out of North Baltimore. Cab drivers. 7 of them so far. Between 9 o'clock at night and 2-3 in the morning, this boy hops in a cab, asks to be taken someplace, puts a gun on the driver.
Only in North Baltimore?
So far, only in North Baltimore.
Any information on him, Lieutenant?
Only the description given by the victims. 25 to 30, 5'8 or 9, 150 to 60 pounds, good looking, dresses well.
I see. Want me to get on it?
Yep. Have a look at the report, Sergeant, and the uniformed men out there are pretty much on the watch for this boy. They're taking a good look at every taxi cab in the street at night. Talk to the uniformed commander out in Northeast tonight. Maybe you can be of some help to each other.
Taxi! Hey, taxi!
Hop in, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, what a night.
Yeah, it looks like we're in for a big snow tonight. Thank heavens I'm through in another hour. Boy, I hate that driving that snow. Old man Winter should drop dead.
Where to?
Almeda and 33rd.
Right. Yeah, every winter I say to myself, Ernie, they got taxi cabs in Florida. Go to Miami, get yourself a job for the winter. Will you ever do it? Look at me. I got flat feet. Hey, did you ever hear of anybody getting flat feet pushing a hack? I swear.
Shut up.
What?
Look, mister, I don't want any more talk out of you. All I want is your dough. Now keep your eye on the street, but remember, this is a gun sticking in your back.
Well, take it easy now.
You take it easy if you ever want to get to Miami. Where's your dough?
Right here in this pocket.
Keep your hands on the wheel. I'll reach for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the pocket.
That's all you got?
Well, look, I had a bad night. It ain't my fault I had a bad night. Want me to pull over so you can get out now?
Almeda and 33rd.
Yeah, I'll meet on 33rd. I hate to remark about it now, buddy, but in my rearview mirror, it comes up a squad car. You know, cops.
Just keep on driving.
Yeah. They're still there.
I see them.
There's a red light down there. You want me to stop for the red light or go on through?
Stop for it.
Yeah. Right alongside. They're pulling right alongside.
Don't give them any high sign.
I won't. Not me. Uh-oh, one of them's getting out to have a look. Here he comes.
Keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
Is everything all right, driver?
Yeah, officer, I...
You.
Me?
Step out of there. Let me have a look at you.
It's snowing, officer.
Step out here.
Oh, all right. You can have a look at this.
Hey! Stop that man! Stop him!
I got a gun!
Come on now, let's go!
Stop. Come on!
I'm right with you.
Yes? Who is it?
It's me, honey. Roy, let me in.
Roy, it's after 2 a.m.
Please, let me in, please.
All right.
Thanks, Helen. Thanks a lot.
What's the matter with you, Roy?
Never mind, I'll be all right.
Where's your coat? You should have more sense than to go out on a night like this without your coat.
I should have had more sense than to go out, period.
What's the matter with you, Roy?
Don't you have any idea?
When you wake me up at 2:00 a.m. and practically break into my room, I don't care for riddles. I'm entitled to an explanation.
Helen, you love me?
What's that got to do with it?
It's got plenty to do with it.
All I want is a reasonable explanation.
All right. You hear those sirens? That's your explanation.
You're in trouble.
You bet I'm in trouble.
I'm sure you can straighten it out.
Not this kind of trouble. You can't straighten out.
Were you in a fight?
Sort of a fight, yeah. Only worse.
Well, what happened?
They were chasing me. It's a break. You live right in the neighborhood. They're probably looking for me on the street right downstairs.
Not the police.
Now, who else do you think?
Oh, Roy.
That's not that much of a shock, Helen. You know it.
Yes, Roy, I know it.
Look, you let me stay a while, won't you, baby? Let me stay here.
Yes. As long as you want.
Good girl. Now, look, there's something you have to do for me.
What?
My overcoat. I couldn't run with it. I threw it in the alley next to the tavern around the corner. I want you to get dressed and go get it for me.
But, Roy...
Oh, please, honey, if they find the coat, they can find me. They have ways. Please, baby, if you love me.
All right. I'll get dressed.
Lieutenant Bryan.
Hello, Lieutenant. Sergeant Mayer.
Patrolman Benedict was dead on arrival at the hospital.
Yeah, we heard, Lieutenant.
Any sign of this man out there, Sergeant?
No, he probably ducked in someplace. But we found an overcoat in an alley off Pratt Street. It might be his. He might have shed it to make better time running.
Well, that may be a break, Sergeant. Bring the coat in here right away.
Well, gangbusters listeners, Baltimore detectives finally had their first tangible lead toward the identity of the holdup man, Roy Wood. But, unfortunately, it didn't come until the holdup man became the murderer of a policeman. Detectives still had a long way to travel in the case, but they were able to take shortcuts because of a news vendor and a curt telegram.
Gangbusters. And now we hear again from tonight's narrator, Chief Inspector M. Joseph Wallace of Baltimore.
Thank you. As you know, Roy Wood, a holdup man, shot and killed a Baltimore policeman who sought to question him. The killer escaped on foot, although pursued by the policeman's partner. It was about an hour later when the girl, Helen, came in the front door of her house and walked down the hall toward her room where the killer, Roy Wood, was waiting.
Baby, I thought you'd never get back. I thought you... The coat, where's the coat?
I looked in the alley, Roy. It wasn't there.
I guess they got it. I guess the cops picked it up.
Roy.
Huh?
You killed that policeman, didn't you?
Listen, baby.
Did you or didn't you?
Yeah, it was me.
The whole neighborhood is up. There are police cars all over.
Listen, honey. You won't say anything to anybody about this, will you?
How could you do it, Roy?
I did it, that's all. You won't say anything, will you?
Why didn't you leave me alone? Why'd you have to bring me all this?
Baby, I love you. You know what'll happen if they get me, you know, don't you?
You weren't fair to me, Roy. You should have let me know what I was getting into.
I know I should have, but I didn't. Honey, you won't say anything, will you?
No, Roy. I won't say anything.
Thanks, Helen. Thanks a lot.
What are you going to do, Roy?
I don't know. I got to think.
They got the coat. You said they might be able to find you through the coat.
Yeah. I'll have to get out of town for a little while. I better go back to my room now and get some things.
But, Roy, the streets are full of policemen. If they see somebody without an overcoat...
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Can I stay here a little while longer?
All right. But you mustn't go back to your room, Roy. You mustn't go back at all.
Hey, Johnny. Lieutenant in there?
Yeah, he's in there, Sergeant.
Thanks. Hello, Lieutenant.
Come in, Sergeant.
Well, I guess we can put this overcoat in cold storage.
No luck, huh?
I traced it from the manufacturer to the retailer, the United on Fayette Street. They keep records of names and addresses of customers only when there's alterations. No alterations on this coat.
Well, how about their memory? Doesn't anybody there have a good memory?
Yeah, they remember having coats of this style in stock. That's about all. Nobody remembers selling this one.
Any cleaner's marks in it?
No, the coat's never been cleaned. Well, we at least know the guy is a perfect 40.
Sergeant.
Yeah?
It's pretty much of a sure thing this guy lives or did live in North Baltimore.
From the way he operated, yeah.
You want to waste a little time?
How?
Well, if he does live in North Baltimore someplace, there's somebody that's seen him and knows him. I think we ought to take this coat and visit every store and bar between Monroe and Hanover, north of Franklin. The coat's not the most ordinary ever made. Maybe somebody will recognize it and know the guy.
Maybe.
Don't you think it's worth it?
Sure, Lieutenant. I think it's worth it. Anything's worth it.
Son! What are you reading? Son, news folks? Paper, buddy?
No, not just now. I'm a police officer.
Yeah? Son, news post. What do you read? What do you read, paper?
Hey, look, the shopkeepers around here tell me you know most everybody in the neighborhood.
They can read, I know them. Son, news post, all eight.
You know the owner of this coat?
That coat there?
Yeah.
I don't look at people's coats. Hey, that could be Roy's.
Roy? Roy who?
How should I know Roy who? He buys the paper from me once in a while. They call him Roy.
Who calls him Roy?
The guys. He hangs on that bar down the street, Casey's.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
For what? What do you read? Paper all late, son, folks. What do you read?
Hey, bartender.
Yeah? What'll it be?
Are you Casey?
I am.
I'm from the police department.
Oh, well. Have a drink in the house.
You got a customer, Roy?
I got lots of customers. Some of them's named Roy.
Coat.
Sweet suffering chipmunks. What's happened to Roy?
Nothing yet.
Well, he ain't been in here in a week.
What's Roy's other name?
Roy Wood, or Woods, something like that. What's the matter with him?
Is he about 25 to 30 years old? 60?
Yeah, that's him.
Where does he live?
Well, I don't know exactly. Over on 33rd someplace, but he ain't been in here in a week. Sweet suffering chipmunks, what's he got himself into?
Who knows? We just want to have a little talk with him. Thanks, Casey. Thanks a lot.
Deposit 45 cents, please.
Yeah. Here you are.
There's your party.
Helen?
Yes, Roy. How are you?
Miserable, baby.
Me too.
Honey, listen. Nobody's been around to see you. You know who I mean.
No, nobody's been around.
Oh, good. I guess everything's okay then. I'm coming back to Baltimore.
I don't know, Roy. It's too soon.
I've got to come back.
Roy.
I know what I'm doing, baby. I'll be in touch with you.
All right, Roy. Goodbye.
Bye, honey.
Why, you gentlemen are certainly mistaken. Roy Wood is a fine young man. I wouldn't have rented a room to him unless he was a fine young man.
But he hasn't been home in a week.
I told you he's a fine young man.
Mrs. Porter, you're positive this is his coat?
Well, I can't be positive, but he has one like it.
It wasn't in his room.
Well, if he went away, he must have taken the coat with him.
You say that Roy never brought any friends here?
Never.
You never saw any of his friends?
No. I asked him not to have company, and he didn't. He's a very respectable young man.
Well, what about women? Did you ever see him with any women?
No, I never saw him with any women. But those that he did go out with were very nice girls.
How do you know they were very nice girls?
Well, this last one, she sounded like a very nice young lady over the phone.
You spoke to her?
Of course, several times. I took messages for Roy.
What kind of messages?
Well, this girl, this Helen, she called and left a number two or three times. She sounded like a very nice girl.
What'd you do with the number?
Well, now, what would I do with the telephone number? I scratched it on the telephone book.
May we see the telephone book, Mrs. Porter?
If you insist, this way.
Thank you.
But Roy Wood is a fine young man. A very fine young man.
Here she is, Lieutenant. Lieutenant Bryan, Helen Denny.
Sit down, Miss Denny.
You have no right to drag me down here to the police station and keep me waiting so long. I think I'm entitled to some explanation.
She says she hasn't seen Roy Wood in a week.
That's true.
Exactly how many times did you see Roy Wood altogether?
I don't know. I didn't stop to count.
You heard from him in the last week?
No, I haven't heard from him.
Where is he now?
I told you, I don't know. I don't know.
You know what we want him for?
No.
We think he killed a policeman.
That's not so.
We wish it weren't. Now, the more you try to cover up for him, the more trouble you're going to get yourself into, young lady.
I'm not trying to cover up because there's nothing to cover up.
All right. I know you've been in touch with Roy Wood.
Please.
I know it. Matter of fact, while the sergeant was bringing you down here, a Western Union messenger boy knocked on your door. You didn't know that we have a couple of men watching your house day and night, did you?
I don't know anything.
And that Western Union messenger boy, when there wasn't any answer, he slipped a telegram under your door. Would you like to read it? Here. Go on, open it up, Ellen. And you still tell me you haven't been in touch with Roy?
All right. I just don't want to see him hurt. That's all. I don't want to see him hurt.
If you don't want to see him hurt or anybody else, then you'll help us.
How?
He sent you a wire to meet him on the corner of Broadway and Pratt tonight. You will meet him.
Please. Can't you do it some other way? Do you have to get me involved in it?
You said you didn't want to see him hurt. This is the easiest way we can take him. For him, for us, and for you.
But I... All right. What do you want me to do?
You go home now. You'll wait until 8:10. Then you'll walk out the front door. You'll walk down Pratt Street to Broadway. Then you'll stand on the corner in front of the drugstore.
Please, Lieutenant,
you'll stand on the corner in front of the drugstore. We don't know whether he'll drive or take a cab or walk, but we do know for sure he's got a gun on him. We'll be all around there. When Roy Wood shows up, you'll drop your purse.
Drop my purse?
That's the sign to us that it is Roy Wood. I'm warning you, Helen. There'll be our men all around. You don't want to see Roy hurt. He won't get hurt if you carry off your part as you're supposed to.
To Gangbusters!
Well, Gangbusters listeners, at precisely 8:15 that night, the girl Helen waited in front of the drugstore on the busy corner of Broadway and Pratt. The eyes of several teams of detectives were fastened on the approaches to the intersection, waiting for Roy Wood to appear. As the minutes passed, she stood firm, until finally she saw the fugitive crossing the street.
Hello, honey. How are you?
Hello, Roy.
Well, what's the matter? Aren't you glad to see me?
Yes, I am glad.
Look, I've got a car parked on the block. Let's go, huh?
Roy, listen to me.
Well, come on, come on. We can't stand here all night.
Roy, I don't want to see you hurt.
I won't. Here, I'll pick up your purse.
No, that's all right. I think it's best, Roy. I really do.
You think what's best?
All right, well, don't make a move.
Hey, what are you doing?
We're police officers.
Let me go, will you?
Hold still there.
Is this the gun you used to kill him?
You turned me in, didn't you, you little
no,
rotten...
No, Roy. Honest, I didn't. I just didn't want you hurt.
Go on home.
Don't you worry about her, Wood. You just come with us.
That, Gangbusters listeners, was exactly how this killer was taken by detectives of the Baltimore Police Department. He was placed on trial a short time later and convicted of first-degree murder. Roy Wood is now in a death cell at the Maryland State Penitentiary, awaiting hanging.
Thank you, Chief Inspector M. Joseph Wallace, for this insight into how Baltimore police conducted a difficult murder investigation. And congratulations to Captain of Detectives Henry J. Criss and all the officers who participated in the investigation leading to the arrest of this killer. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Les Damon and Deli Ellis in leading roles. Roger Foster speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.